I hope all of you had a good afternoon, a restful afternoon. I went home and I lay, ate lunch and laid across the bed. Next thing I know was quarter to four. I said, well, I'll bring, I better get up. But I tell you what, you know, we do need the rest. And I think, I sure am glad the Lord said, Sunday is going to be a day of rest. It's the same day. And he literally meant that. But we got people out here, they'll do anything there. They won't come to church. They won't rest. And I don't understand them. But it's not for me to understand. It's for me to just put in the Lord's hands. But tonight, if you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll mean chapter 1 and chapter 2 tonight. But for a little bit. I know that the Jubilee, I'm gonna say this, and I want y'all to think about it between now and probably Wednesday night. But and which tonight, you know, or what you think tonight. But I noticed that we have been putting in the paper, in the Piedmont Shopper, the announcements, and we got the announcement in the paper. We got the little card in there, and the free announcements and all of that. But which I said it was going to try to put another announcement in there for the Jubilee and have it listed and everything where it is. But a decent size, to where people can read it and you won't have to have real small letters in it. And it's a 5x5. And then when you get past the 5, when you come down below, it goes to 3x3. I think is what Judy Bryan had told me once before. But it's going to cost the church, and this is with a discount, $135. Now,
Chrissy's been talking to them.
Yeah, they're going to.
That's what we said.
Because we paid $80 last year. I think it was $85 last year that we paid last year.
I mean, that's black and white too, isn't it?
Yeah. And last year was color. And so I was talking to Bill earlier, and what we thought about was just getting stamps. And we can buy the envelopes, the stamps, and everything, and we can mail them.
Donnie, fix them like you do the Jubilee. You won't even.
I mean, well, all the. You talking about the fellowship, okay.
Fellowship.
Well, we can.
But it's all on the cheap. You don't have the ones for the Jubilee.
Fix it like a postcard.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
It's a regular size.
Just fold it over and just put a stamp on it and their name.
Tape it and put a stamp on it and the person's name on the outside. It goes.
But now, if y'all know somebody, that you would like for one to be sent to, if you can just maybe have the name and address for me Wednesday night, then we can just take it and mail them all from the house. Or if y'all want to just mail a copy of them, and we'll give you I'll bring the stamps, and you can get the stamps and put on it. And we can do it that way. I think we can be able to reach more people.
Maybe we should say we get Bill, what's the roll of 100 stamps?
$47 for 100 stamps.
You do that cheaper than you can put in.
Yeah. And I think, really, in the long run, the individual will get it in the hands through the mail, which we don't know how many individuals goes out here and gets the Piedmont Shopper, which I'm not, you know, I'm not saying anything against the Piedmont Shopper. I mean, they just have, you know. But I just thought about maybe doing that and everything. And that right there will kind of help your church a little bit too as far as the funds, because, you know, we got to really watch what we spend.
We'll fix, we'll do everything, not unless y'all got somebody. We can give you a flyer if you want to do it, but if you'll give us an address of somebody,
we'll just take them, and I can print them at the house, and I can print them all at one time, and I can just... Shelby, she can take them and she'll fold them, and then, you know, we'll put stamps on them and we'll mail them. But I just thought it was something that we could do as for the, you know, helping the church. And I'm going to send each one of the preachers that comes into their church where they can announce it to their church and that, you know, they're going to be there, which they'll know that they're going to be there, and they may come too. But, you know, it's just...
Like Lawrence Moore sent him one, maybe Victory, you know, different churches in town. That
that's right. And I'll send Welcome One and everyone.
I'm doing some each year, and putting them up on bulletin boards.
But all right. They're wrong.
Yes, he had... He said redo them. You're two of I had to switch. Just the two names.
I wouldn't use what you got because Milton Palmer can't come.
Yeah.
He's on Monday, but Greg Thomas is coming. JD's gonna be Friday, and Tommy Steele's gonna be Thursday.
Yeah.
Somehow so. JD got mixed up. I guess everything going on, and he had something to do Thursday, but he could come Friday. And so Donnie finally got.
So, if y'all want to take it and think about it till Wednesday night, and we can decide on that, because, you know, I wouldn't put it in the Piedmont Shopper this week, maybe it'd be next week, but I just thought that would be $135 the church could save on that, and you're saving $100. Well, really, we will say the church is going to save $135. Because, you know, I'll buy the stamps, you know. But I just thought we'd do that if it was okay with the people. Has anybody got anything they want to say about that? Are y'all for that or whatever? I mean, I know. Now, I want y'all's input in things. I'm human.
And I mailed about five different ones to the churches.
I need y'all's input. I need y'all's help. I mean, just because I'm a pastor just does not mean it. If I say it, that's going to be the gospel, and that's the way it's going to be, you know. We got to do this together. So, but if all of y'all are, you know, if all y'all are going to be in agreement with it, we'll wait until Wednesday night and bring it back up, and we can just do it all then, and I'll.
Well, go ahead.
Huh? Well,
so we're waiting for Nancy to get back on we do it for the Preachers Fellowship.
And I, you know, it's nothing against Piedmont Shopper. I mean, because they, I mean, they've been, I think they've been good to us about, you know, what they've done and everything. But I think it's just a little bit too much for the smaller people, no more people than what we have. I really do. And we will, you know, maybe we can still have something in the Piedmont Shopper in a smaller size, and it may not cost as much. But, you know, I think this way that we can take that and we can put that with something else. And so, is everybody in agreement with that?
Amen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, all righty. If you will, turn tonight in 1 Peter chapter 1, be two or three verses there, and then chapter 2. And I hope I can bring this out the way the Lord has spoke to me about it. So y'all just pray for me. But here in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, it says right here in verse 14, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on my Father, on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here is fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. Verse 19 says, But with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying truth through the Spirit, unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower therefore fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And with this is the word which by the grace, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the reading of thy word tonight. And Father, we just pray, Lord Jesus, for that fresh anointing from down on high, Lord, that God, that you may fill my soul with thy power tonight. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, you'll bring back to my remembrance what I've read and what I've studied and what you have given me to speak about tonight. And Lord, we just pray, God, Father, if it's anyone here tonight, Father, that needs a closer walk with you, we pray, Father, tonight, that this message may touch their hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. All right, here we have just read about the saving grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that here in verse 18. It says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot." He has come to each one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ, he can redeem you. He can save you from the penalties of sin. He can save you to the point that you don't have to worry about going to hell. You'll know for a fact in where you're going. That's not hell, it's heaven. We know that we can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do y'all all agree with me on that? That we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We can trust him because he's not going to do anything to harm us. He's not going to allow me or you to go into a place where we'll harm our testimony or harm our walk. Because he will always go before us. And I believe if we start out and if we walk, and if we get too ahead of the Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show us that, son, you need to stop. You need to stop in what you're doing right now. You need to allow the Lord to get in front of you because there's trouble waiting if you continue on. And if we do continue on and walking in front of the Lord, we're going to definitely face trouble. Because we cannot walk, look to the left, look to the right, and even look straight ahead. Because even though we look straight ahead, we don't have nobody to look unto. Why? Because the Lord's behind us. We must stop. The Holy Spirit, I believe, will speak to us and say, son, you need to stop. Stop in what you're doing, because where you're going now, there is trouble. The Holy Spirit knows us. The Holy Spirit knows me by name. He knows you by name. And if you'll notice, anytime I speak about the Holy Spirit is a he. You have some people that will call the Holy Spirit an it. The Holy Spirit is not no it. Because if you say the Holy Spirit is an it, then you're going to say the Lord Jesus Christ is an it. And you'll say God the Father is an it. Well, God the Father, he is God Almighty. He is Jehovah. He is the one that walks with us daily. And his son, Jesus Christ, he's the one that went to Calvary for me, that I could follow him. And then the Holy Spirit is the one that comforts me. I do not know of anybody that I can call a it that will comfort me. An it will not comfort you. An it will not love you. But the Holy Ghost, he loves us. He loves us and he comforts us. And he'll help us when we come into trouble and when we face trouble. Because as a new Christian, and even down the road, the devil is always there to bring us down. When the devil brings us down, then he says, I've done my job today. I've brought one down. We can say the same thing to the devil if we go out here and we visit someone and we tell them about the love of God and we just tell them, all you have to do, it don't cost you one red cent. All you have to do is just trust in Jesus. And I says, and you don't have to worry about the trust part. Because the trust part is easy. They can trust Jesus. They can trust Jesus that Jesus will look after them. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, unto unfringed love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you today. You know, today we're not having that much of the gospel that is being preached. We may hear a preacher and he may bring it up, but he will not stay on point to the fact that the people that's there will listen. Will listen to what the man of God is saying. Because the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But I'll go as far as saying that, I'll put it this way. The gospel is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the death, then the burial, and then the resurrection. Because without the first one, without the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot have the other three. So you got to take all four of them and put them in the right order. And I'm so thankful for that. But here in chapter 2, it said right here in verse 1, it says, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We see right here in verse number 2, as newborn babes, there was one time in our spiritual life we was that newborn babe. We was just like that infant was that is in the hospital today. That infant there is waiting for someone to take care of them. Is waiting for someone to come and comfort them. That newborn babe there is waiting for the mother to come. Now, I know the fathers, they're important too. But it's nothing like the mother to a child. It's something special about that mother to the individual child. And I think it is because the mother had carried it for so long. Just like I heard the other day somebody said, well, my grandson, he's 16 or 17, be turned 16 or 17 years old tomorrow. But he says, not only that, he'd been in church all his life. He'd been in church right at almost 17 years and 9 months. Because he was in church when that child's mother was carrying him. They was in church. And naturally, that's the only thing the boy ever knew anything about. Even today, as a teenager, he don't know nothing else. And his parents are really, I don't know if they're scared or what, but they're afraid that he's going to get a hold to the wrong individual. He'll get in with the wrong crowd. And we know the peer pressure that the teenagers and the young people have today. Man, I mean, when I was going to school compared to today, I was in a convent compared to what it is today. I mean, you had the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Then not only that, you had the Christian flag there also. And you sung the song by that. You even had your teacher read a passage from the scripture. There's nothing in the world wrong with none of that. What became wrong was when they took it out of the individual's lives and the individual's activity for today. Because the individual child, they don't have nothing to look forward to today in school. Why? Because of so much peer pressure that is on them. That is the reason I believe the Lord has brought about the church, to where the church can take and teach them a little something. We can't do it all. It has to come from the parents. It has to come from the family members. Church can't be just a babysitter. A church can't expect to get young people in church. Can't expect to get even elderly people in church. And expect them just to come and look after them and baby them all the time. That's not what the church is all about. The church is all about the heart. Getting the heart right. And if we get the heart right, then they'll be right. People talk about love today. They don't know anything about love. The young people out here today, they don't know anything about love. The only type of love that they know anything about, sad to say, is a sexual type love. But they don't know anything about loving the individual for the individual. And not what they can get out of the individual. We need to grow. How do you grow? You grow with mistakes that we make. You cannot grow if you say all the time, well, I know what the Bible says, and I do it. You cannot grow that way. The only way you can grow is you look at the Word of God and say, man, I didn't see it that way before. Man, that's speaking of me. Hey, we're all sinners. We're still all sinners. The only difference between us and the other individuals out here that are sinners, and we're saved sinners, and they're lost sinners. And another thing, God the Father, He looks down on us and He sees no sin. Only thing He sees is the blood on us. Because why? Because of His Son, Jesus Christ, and what His Son done at Calvary. But as far as the individuals outside that has never asked Jesus to come into their heart, is continue rejecting Him and rejecting Him, they're lost sinners. They don't know anything about the love of God. They don't know anything about the heart of the Christian. That when we come up to them and say, we love you, we'd like to see you at church. We'd love to see you come to church. We love you. We are not willing for you to go out into this world and allow the devil to take you and run you from here to there. And not doing anything at all. We're just running for the devil. We don't need to have people running for the devil. We need more laborers for the Lord. We need to have more laborers in the field. We need to have more laborers. We don't have enough laborers today. And I don't need to be saying this, but I gotta say it. But I'm the worst of them all. I'm not doing what I need to do for the Lord. What is that? Anything that the Lord has pressed it upon my heart to do to bring His Son glory and honor. If I'm not doing it, I'm not doing nothing for the Lord. I need to be a true laborer for Him. I need to be willing to go out. We don't have a visitation. We don't hear of much anymore about having visitation that much anymore. Where the churches would gather on a certain day or a certain afternoon during the week or on a Saturday morning, and that they'll gather together. They'll come in the house of the Lord and they'll pray together. And they'll ask for the leadership of the Lord to lead them to the people that He wants them to go to. There's nothing wrong about what God does. He does everything in perfection. He's no respecter person. He's not going to treat me no different than He treats you. He's not going to treat you no different than He would treat me. We all have got to come to the Lord the same way. We have to have the same thing applied to our life to be saved. And that's the blood. That's the blood. It's not the cross. It's not even a man on the cross. It's the blood that He spilt and He shed that day. It's His blood that He was willing to give up for me. And once He gave it up, that means He gave up His life. He said it was finished. And it was finished. Then His Father turned His own back on His own Son. That's when darkness came. Why? Says over in the book of Exodus, I believe it is. That's the reason Moses, when he went up into the mountain, and he was out praying, and he was praying, and the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to him in the burning bush there. And the Lord spoke to him in the burning bush. Moses thought he was looking at the face of God. But God said, Moses, you're not looking at the face. You're looking at my hind part. Why? Because Moses had some sin on his life. That day at Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He had sin on His life. He bore our sins. That means He was carrying our sin. That's the reason His Father in heaven could not look on Him. But then, right after that, when He told the Father, it's finished. And He said, Father, I've gave it all I can. And He did. And then they placed Him into a barred tomb. They didn't wait till the next day, because that's what they usually do. They waited till the next day before they would bury them. but they didn't that day. Why? Because the Passover was about to take place. The Lord Jesus Christ, and no one, no other individual could ever hang on the cross during Passover. During that Passover, he was laid in a barred tomb. It was barred. But he knew that he knew when they placed him there. They knew the very moment, the very time that they placed him there. He knew exactly when they took. And they took that linen cloth and they wrapped him from his feet all the way to the top of his head. They wrapped him in that white linen. And then they left his nose and his mouth. Did not wrap the linen around that tight. But what they did do, they took the napkin and laid the napkin over his nose and over his mouth. What does that symbolize? That symbolizes the breath of Almighty God. Because you know, you take somebody and you wrap them up. And if you wrap them up tight enough, and he was wrapped tight all the way, except the mouth and his nose, he wouldn't be able to breathe. He was God. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. He could have breathed. But you've got to remember, he was also man. Yes, he was God. But he did not stay God. He was not God at that time. He was man. Everything bothered him. He had got hurt. People had spit on him, and yes, and he got angry at times. He took on the nature of man. That's the reason they didn't do that, because if he did, he couldn't have breathed. I've never thought of it that way, but that's right. He would have never breathed. He'd have never come forth. He'd have been dead just like any other man would have been back then. Back then and today. If you stop breathing, if you get to the point that you can't breathe no more, what's going to happen? You're going to die. You're going to eventually die. Even though they may take you to the hospital and they may put all kinds of gadgets on you and they may put stuff down your throat and they might put this and that on you and everything, and they could have a machine keeping you alive. They could have that machine pumping your chest, and you can see your chest go up and go out and come back in and go in and out. But an individual can't stay on that long. Eventually the plug has got to be unplugged. When they take the tubes out, when they cut the machines off, what's going to happen? Their chest is going to be steel. The lungs is going to eventually end up collapsing because they don't have no air. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his Father. Now, I'm a father. Brother Bill, you're a father. Brother Jimmy, you're a father.
I couldn't have went through that. I could not have went through that and seen my son or my daughter go through the pain and the agony that he had went through. For somebody that he did not even know. For somebody that had never been even thought of, even been birthed into the family, the local family. But even though his father allowed it, his father was in agony. His father hurt. Why did his father hurt? His father hurt because of the first Adam. Because the first Adam brought about sin. And the sin was passed on down to me and you. He was hurt because of Adam. But then, praise be unto God, there come a day when the second Adam come on the scene. And with the second Adam that come on the scene, he did not disappoint the Father. He told the Father, "For thy will to be done. Not my will, but your will, Father. Know and grow." And the last one, I'll just tell you about it in closing. Is over here in chapter 2 in verse 10. No, verse 9. Says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." Now that we know that we have been born again, we know that we are saved, we know that our name's written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we know by knowing all of that, that we know that we need to get in the Word of God. And we can grow by reading God's Word. And by reading God's Word, God's Word will teach us and will show us what we must do. That we must go out here in the world and show them how much God loves them. How much God loves them. See, God loves them just as much as He does me. He's no respecter of person. Doesn't love me any more than he does that individual out there. That drug addict, that drunkard that's out here that's using the Lord's name in vain. God still loves him just as much as he loves me. And knowing what I've done tonight, and knowing that I'm one of his children, I thank him for that. I really, really do. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this afternoon. Lord, we know, Father, that you are the one that we can put our trust in. And Lord, not only can we put our trust in, but Father, we can, by knowing that we are Christians, by knowing that we're saved, by knowing that our names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and knowing all of that, we also know that we're growing in the Spirit of God. And not in just knowing and growing,
But in knowing and growing that we need to share what you shared with us since we've been saved. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.